So what'd you say? God what? God what? I want you to turn your Bible. I'm going to read a translation for you to help along this line before we go to our morning text. In Matthew chapter 11, you know the great rest. Street verse you tell about, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. This church is about to enter into a rest. And I want to read absolutely every member, you better hold tight to your seat because they're not going to be empty long. Somebody else going to say, you better get here. All right. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I want to read to you from the Messenger Bible. I want to read to you. Because this is where we are. Here's what it says in the Message Bible, starting at 11:28. You got it? Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest. 29th verse. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And then the 30th verse says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Now, we're dealing with communion, and we're dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I got a few questions I want to ask, but you can turn there, 1 Corinthians. We'll go there, chapter 11, verse 23. The Apostle Paul, by revelation, gives something that Jesus already has instituted. But I have a few questions I want to answer. What communion is not? It is not the law, it is grace. Now, you might not know how important that is, you see, because we've been checking ourselves out so much we couldn't even get the goods. We're so worried whether we're guilty or not, or whether God's angry with us, we can't even take communion in peace. Communion is a grace covenant. It's already been paid for. It is not darkness, it is light. Got it? It is not, communion is not darkness, it is light. People who take communion properly walks in the light of victory, triumph, overcomers, conquerors, because of what Jesus did. Communion is because of what Jesus did, not because of what you do. I'm so glad communion ain't not about me or you. See, communion is not sadness, it is joy. So when the Bible talks in the community, talk about some are weak, some are sickly, some are asleep, meaning dead, died prematurely. I want you to just say this with me, then we'll get into the word. I am delivered.
I am loved.
I am strong.
I am wise.
I have long life. All right, let's go now. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians and read our text. And as we read it, 1 Corinthians 11, we're talking about the institution of the Lord's Supper. It is a grace supper. Now, what is grace? Grace is God showing forth his goodness. Preach, Leroy. Grace is God showing forth his goodness. Today, as we experience the bread and the wine, it is instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ and backed up by the Holy Spirit to introduce to us the new covenant. You don't have to labor no more. See, you're already forgiven. So we read here. We read here. It says, the Apostle Paul said, he correct worship, he correct how women should carry themselves. In the 10th chapter, I read it. But he gets here, he says, and he corrected some things. So here they had misappropriated communion. They had misappropriated the Lord's Supper. Wait a minute now. We have. Instead of coming to a feast to get healed, we come wondering whether we're fit enough to take it. Your fitness to take communion is not in you, it's in Jesus. And because you're in Jesus, you're fit to take communion. You heard that? For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Notice what he said do now. What he said do? Do that in remembrance. He said, do that in remembrance of you. Do that in remembrance of what kind of life you live. Do that in remembrance of all your mistakes you have made last week. What he said? Yeah. In remembrance of him, meaning I got that. I got your life in my hand. You're not going to really practice no sin. You're saved. You're not going to stay out there long. You're going to come back to me because you got my life on the inside of you. I'm afraid of people who constantly practice sin. I wonder if they're saved because you'll come back. How many are saved in here? Yeah, you're not going to practice no sin. Because, see, you're going to learn some things in these sessions that are going to get you out of it. All right? You got it? He said, do this in remembrance of me. We come here to remember him, not them. Remember me how? Remember that I have paid for your whole journey down here. Mistakes and all. Good days and bad days. I've already taken care of that for you. Good God Almighty. I wish. Church, can you say amen?
Amen.
And listen, there's no such thing as too good to be true. It's just good and true. Oh, too good. See, you got this. That's too good to be true. No, it's good and true. It's truth and good, all right? Verse 25. In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, now notice, pay close attention here, because it's a shift right here. It's a shift that the church at large has not made. See, the law is duty. Grace is, hold on, I'm about to bless your socks off. See, grace, you got to hold on with the grace of God. If you really understand the covenant of grace, he says, I don't remember your sin. No more. He said, now I know, oh, Jesus, what am I going to do now? I ain't got no sin. See, you may have missed it, but you're going to get it right. Why? You got something in you that turn you from the world, turn you from the devil, turn you from sin. And by teaching you can turn, you're going to start turning. But if you get just judge, you're not going to turn because you're going to try to live under the Old Testament. Amen? Listen to me. I know where I'm going. All right? Now, I'm in verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, watch this now, this cup is what? All right, now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, so you're going to sound a little different, some things I said. I'm trying to get new. This cup is the new covenant. That's what it says in the New King James Version. It's the new covenant. It's a new covenant. A new covenant brings a different type of lifestyle. It brings a different type of ability. You're not dealing with bulls and goats no more. You're dealing with the blood of my son that can remove all damage out of your life. Talk to me. You are damage protected by the grace of God. Come on, talk to me here. You are damage protected by the grace of God. Yeah, but what am I going to do? Just flow. Act like you're floating in blood. Everybody get up and say, I'm going to get up today. I'm going to float in the blood of Jesus. I'm floating in blood. And Satan said, what? Satan said, what? Say, I'm floating in blood. What blood? Jesus' blood. Get up, get in the morning, say, Satan, say, Satan, I'm not depending on myself. Satan, I'm not depending on myself. Satan, I want you to hear me, Satan. I'm not depending on myself no more. I'm floating in blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye, this do. As often as you drink it, here he tell us again. Not you. He said, when you drank it, you be drinking this cup, thinking about you. No, I'm gonna drink it. But I don't know. No, he said, this cup is not for, it's not about you. It's cup about me, and it's because it's about me and you in me, it's about us. But I'm taking care of everything about this cup. And remembers of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, irreverently. Because you're still a believer, right? But you can't be unworthy. Because your believing lock you into Jesus. So when you take communion, you're not taking communion in your name. The new covenant of grace, you're taking it in his name. He's saying to you, I got you covered. You're not going to be weak. You're not going to be sick. And you're not going to die early. Somebody talk to me up in here. And I'm saying to you as your apostle and pastor, you're not going to be sick. You're not going to be weak. You're not going to die early. And you're going to live right. Because you want to live right. And you got the power to live right. I ain't thinking about your past. I'm talking about right now. But because you can't flow where you don't know. But it's my job to get you in a position that you'll never be guilty another day in your life. All right, you may be seated. Let's go to work. Well, now, let's begin, let me begin to say some things about the covenant of grace versus the law. The Bible constantly tells us, people who try to live by the law, you can't make it. The law was just a schoolmaster to point you to Christ. And I think the New Testament church, we have, by denominational flaws, the body of Christ at large, so a large percentage, been trying to live by I prayed 2 hours, read 10 chapters, memorized 3, which is good within itself, but that's not grace. See, I'm in Christ. That's the thing. To know that I'm in Christ and I'm in the New Testament and God's goodness. I know I got to know God loved me.
Yes.
You know, they say, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tell me so. Say it, Jesus loved me, this I know. See, now he's kind of trying to run any sin, any mistake you made by you. Say, man, it's too good to be true. Lord Jesus, you're pinching yourself. But it's the Bible. It's the new covenant that he led you in. I'm going to talk about some things. Communion is a revelation. What is the revelation of communion? Right, she said the benefit. The revelation of communion is that God gave his son to die in my place. And when he died in my place, because I accept him, all my sin died when he died. He took every mistake that I have made, every mistake I'm making now, and every mistake I'm going to make in the future. You say, well, this is a license to sin? No, this is a license to win. It's telling you got power. It's telling you can miss the step, but God still got you. Wouldn't be for that, all of us would go to hell. Not only a revelation, get this. Communion is a reminder that I've been delivered. Turn to Colossians 1:13. I think it's 12 or 13. What is 12? I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Which one is it? 12 or 13? Colossians 1, 12, 13. 13. Colossians 1:13. Don't set up your act like you're in Colossians down somewhere. Find it. Get in your index. We ain't trying to prove there ain't no Bible trivia yet. We're not trying to see who know the Bible. I just want you to get it. Now, what it says? Has that happened to you?
Yes,
all right, so it's a reminder, no matter how the enemy try to trick you, you already delivered. You remind yourself. It's a reminder. This communion, we're going to take it in a few moments, is a reminder to us that I already have been delivered by the blood of Jesus. Not by works. Not because I came here this morning. Not because I'm going to be here Wednesday night. I'm supposed to be here Wednesday night. But Wednesday in the day because Christmas. But because I'm in him. Now you get this guilt up off of you right now. You're going to be all right. You're a child of God, right? You got a habit. You're going to get rid of it. Grace going to wash you. Communion is a revelation, a reminder, and I'm going to give you the last part here, and a releaser of the gospel of grace. And I wrote for if you want to do a subject, understanding the grace of Holy Communion. Understanding the grace of Holy Communion. To do that, you have to understand the Christ, the cross, the gospel of grace, forgiveness. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Righteousness. You, as a Christian, you are the righteous one in Christ. See, Christ the righteous one because you're in him, you walk in righteousness. I'm in right standing with God. Even though I lied last night. Because people think, you know, you make a mistake. They think you're out. You ain't. No, you're not out. You ain't. You ain't. You ain't for the long haul. You ain't for eternity. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say it. I'm the righteousness
of God in Christ Jesus.
That means I'm in right standing with God now and the rest of my days.
Woo!
Okay, well, you're not righteous. Yes, I'm righteous. I'm in him. Jesus Christ is my righteousness. I'm a believer. I'm not going to be deceived here. I'm a believer. See, I got to get this out of here. All this stuff we talking about, doing this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this. Your part of the covenant is believe. When you're saying, I believe he forgive me.
Yes, sir. My.
When you get stuck, I believe he's going to get me out.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me now. Talk to me.
Yes,
look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin.
That's it.
Became sin. What for? That I might be made the righteousness of God, where?
In him.
I'm righteous in him. I'm in him. Because I'm in him, I'm righteous. Not because I did everything right last week, because I didn't. But because I'm in him, and because I'm walking in his grace, and because I got his spirit on me, I'm still righteous. I tell you, I'm a righteous man. Say it. I'm a righteous woman. Say it. Because of Christ, the righteous one. You understand me, Turner? You understand me? You righteous because of Christ, not because of you. Listen to this. The Christ, the cross, the gospel of peace, the gospel of grace, forgiveness, righteousness, faith, mercy, grace, and faith meet together to release the full blessing of God. I'm going to go over there because I want to get the whole start now. All right? Why? The Christ, the cross, the gospel of grace, forgiveness, righteousness, and faith, mercy, grace, and faith meet together to release the full blessing of God. You say you've been redeemed. How many of y'all say you've been redeemed? Huh? See, well, what about the curse? Can the curse come on a Christian? Yes, if the Christian make the choice to let it come in. Curse, choice, curse, choice. I choose not. Turn to Galatians 3:13. Christ! Christ! Past tense. Has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. For it's written, curses. They were one that hang on the tree. That, the blessing. I'm blessed. You can't curse who blessed. Balaam tried that. They couldn't do it. He opened his mouth and said, bless. He was supposed to say curse. The man said, I told you, I'm paying you to curse him. He said, he opened his mouth and said, I'm going to curse him. Bless. He couldn't curse him. Because you can't curse whom God has blessed. And God, come on, say this with me. And God has blessed me. Come on, church. Can you say amen? Can you say glory to God? You can't curse whom God has blessed. Look at that verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. I'm redeemed, man. Through Christ, see? I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm blessed. Say it, I'm blessed. Say it like you mean it. I'm blessed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes. Right now, right here. I heard the Holy Ghost says the intensity of glory is on this house. The intensity of God's glory is on this house right now because his children is turning in the right direction. And stop feeling sorry for yourself when something looks like it's not going right and declare it won't last forever. Listen, because you need to sit down. You need to write this because we're gonna break this off of you right here. We must stop depending on ourselves to be right with God. You heard me? We must stop depending on ourselves to be righteous with God. What that voice says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he did it. Because when you do that, you're going back to works now. What I do is not what you do, it's what he did. And he said, take up your cross and follow after me. In the law, a lot of time we fall on ourselves. Now, how that going to end up? Turn to 2 Corinthians 12:9. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Let me read this statement, then I'm going to let you read this verse. 2 Corinthians 12:9. May through these teaching, and I'll be teaching this for a long time, we all turn to the sufficiency of God's grace in Christ. For every situation, remember what he said. My grace is sufficient. What you dealing with today? What? Who got a need? Who got something that's just pestering the hell out of you? Who got something that just need to get straight today? And what you got to do, talk back to God. So now, when you're dealing with this thing, you know, you're not going to be with all your brothers and sisters around you by yourself then. But you need to speak out. Watch it. I'm going to show you how to be anointed. You need to speak out. Say, God, you see, you're dealing with it. Your grace is sufficient for this. You heard me?
Yes, sir.
You say, you tell him. You say, God, your grace. See, you're by yourself now. And all the hellhounds coming to try to tell you you have lost. But when they hear you talking this kind of language, God's grace is sufficient for this. I'm not going to worry myself. Look what he said. Look at it. See, when you weak, he's strong. When you humble yourself, God will give you grace. Turn to the sufficiency of God's grace in Christ. He did it. He handled it. He has this. This is not working right for me. He has it. Can he do anything with it? That angel talking to Mary, that angel told me, said, look, nothing impossible with God. She said, oh, she said, be it to me according to thy word. What it says? What's 2 Corinthians 12:9 say? So you weak. So you made a few mistakes. Huh? Stop looking at yourself and look at what God said. Step off in the grace that God had provided for you in Christ and be strong again. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. God has, listen to me, God has supplied enough grace for the rest of your day.
That's right there.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
No more Blue Monday, every day happy Sunday. That happens.
Yeah. That's right.
I want to take a twofold look at God's grace and manifestation. Them two sons. Luke chapter 15. I'm two sons. A twofold look at God's grace. Uh-huh. And both of them miss God. But the lessons are given that we'll know how. Even if you're going wrong, grace still got you. And if you're at home, grace got you. Let's do this. Oh, Lord. Somebody getting blessed up in here. Yes. All right, Luke 15, you there? And I might not get much further than this because it's just two manifestations here. Grace, the covenant of grace, all I want you to know, you're covered. All I want you to know, you haven't done nothing too bad to be blessed. All I want you to know, you got some mistakes in your life, but because you're in this ministry, you're going to change. Because I'm going to preach enough information for you to understand how to walk out. If you fall down next week, just get up, get yourself on back here Sunday. We're going to work with you. You understand me? Huh? Talk to me up in here. Watch this now. In Luke 15, verse 11, then he said, a certain man had two sons. You with me? Now I'm reading the New King James Version. And the young of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed. Now he's still his son. He didn't lose his sonship on this journey. This is a low-down journey, but he didn't lose his sonship. I don't care what Leroy Jr. do. I don't care where he go. I don't care what mistake he make. He's still Leroy Jr. He's still my son. And God dug it, I'm going to own him. I'm going to own him until he get back right if he go wrong. I'm not going to say that's not my son. That's my son. I can't change that. God can't change you being his son. The devil can't change it. Society can't change it. This world can't change it. I'm a child of the living God. No doubt about it. See, but Satan, when you make a mistake, Satan come tell me, well, look at you. Yeah, I'm still a son of God. I'm coming up out of this. I'm going to be all right. Then you say three or four hallelujah. He'll leave then. Hallelujah. You say what? Hallelujah. Do you have a right to say hallelujah? Yes, I got a right to say hallelujah. I got a right because of Jesus Christ, not because of me. I'm living by grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what, you better hold your seat tight. This church gonna get so packed, y'all ain't gonna have nowhere to sit. Because once the word get out that the gospel of grace is being preached properly, they're gonna come from the four corners of the earth. Mark my word, Terrell. Mark my word. Mark my word. All right, so now, come on, let me finish. And the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly, and we're talking about two manifestations now, of grace. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. And no one give him anything. But when he came to himself. Oh, Lord. I'm going over here. But when he came. What is that? But when he came. There's a place that you're going to come to yourself. But when he came to himself. When he came to himself, what happened? But when he came to himself, look what he said. Ooh, Jesus. But when he came to himself, he said. Now, the Holy Spirit is saying something to me. But when he came to himself, he said. I don't have to go through this. I can change this. I'm not staying in this hog pen. Right. I don't supposed to be eating slop. My father has provided for me to have the best. All I got to do is get my crazy self back in place. Well, you didn't say that, but I just wanted to say that, you know. Notice what he's saying now. And I want you to think about God when he starts talking, because it's a parable about God. Look what he says. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And we say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But it was when he's still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Oh, God loved me. Tell somebody next to you, God really loved me. Now, see, you couldn't, see, you really couldn't say that with enthusiasm or with gravity under the law. Because the Satan, yeah, condemnation, Satan be hollering at you, because all of us have made some mistakes. I need help, me. He had what on him? Write that word down. Compassion. That word means love. Yeah, and see, and love cannot finish that. Love cannot finish it. Come on, talk to me. Y'all. Love never faileth. 1 Corinthians 13, that's what it says. Love never faileth. And God love you so much. Look at me. Look at me. Any angle you come on the screen, just look at me. God love you so much. He's not holding your sins against you. He's waiting on you to come home. He's Abba. He's Father. Look at the Father. Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What? Nasty low-down boy been out there with them whores and doing all kind of stuff. And then the father, he ain't never asked him no question. So who made the decision to get this right? Not the father, the son did. And he still got to get his little saying in, you know. And the son said, oh, watch this. I want you to see this. Because Gray is going to completely ignore you. Yes. Watch. Going to completely ignore you. You're going to be trying to tell her all the trouble you've seen, all the wrong you've done. Right. And Gray is going to go on and say, get a robe. Are you listening to me? This is the Bible.
Right.
We just been preaching it wrong.
Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir.
Nobody won't hear nothing about no judgment every Sunday.
Amen.
You already been judged.
Amen. Right.
You a Christian?
Yes, sir.
You a Christian girl? You already judged.
Amen.
You were judged on Christ on the cross.
Yeah, right.
I got to get a little rough here.
Yeah.
All you got to do is bring your crazy self home.
Right.
Because your conscience is a compass.
Yeah.
Write that down. Your conscience is a compass that will show you the way home. I love it. I'm preaching now, boy. Your conscience is a compass. It can read the map. It'll show you back home. Text that. Text. Put that on. What them pages you call them pages? Tweet that. Fresh from heaven. It ain't in my note. Fresh from heaven. Your conscience is a compass that leads you back home. Every Christian have a conscious compass on the inside of them, and it knowing where to go, taking you back to Jesus. You will never follow that counterfeit compass no more. You're going to follow the compass of your conscience, and you going home. When you miss it, I'm going home. Out of here. Sin Turn to Galatians chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Sin no longer have dominion over me. Is that Galatians 6, Romans 6, 14?
That's right. That's it.
What did it say? No, because I know how to follow the compass. I know by grace I'm saved. And it's not of myself. It's a gift of God. It's through faith. By grace, through faith, I'm saved. And it's not of myself. So I can't save myself. It's a gift of God. I'm going home. Now this really going to rock your boat. Yeah, but I slept with that man last week. Come on home. You ain't going to sleep with him next week. Why y'all don't see what I'm coming from? Y'all don't see this grace. This grace is something, man. He'll never get me again. I'm going home. Say, what do you say? What? You're a Christian. You're a believer. You got it in you. I just got to teach you how to walk in grace instead of trying to do all these penance and all this. It's the goodness of God lead to repentance. It's not the whipping of God. You can't whip sheep. You got to lead sheep. God ain't told you beat my sheep. He told you feed my sheep. Look at somebody say, shoot, I got some hope here now. Shoot. I got some hope here now. I'm coming to church next Sunday. I want to hear some more of this. Y'all better open these church doors up and let me get up in here. I will hear some more of this. Open these doggone doors. Bam, bam, open up here. Is the pastor here yet? Bam, bam. Watch this now. Sit down. I'm going to close in a minute. I can't. That's 45 minutes there, son? Yeah, what is 11? I can't do no 45 this morning. I'm going to have a few more minutes. And the son said to him, he's trying to confess, you know, trying to confess his sin. Confess his sin. Confess his sin. Secret, secret, secret. Stop confessing your sin and confess Christ. Confess your relationship. Your sin's going to handle, God's going to handle your sin. And then you finally, you're going to add up, you're going to say, I did this. But make sure don't let that get ahead of you confessing that I'm a child of God.
Hallelujah. Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
See, this guilty stuff. This guilty stuff. Well, I ain't going to church this Sunday. That's when you need to go to church.
That's when you need to be there. Hallelujah.
Talk to me up in here.
Yes, sir. Got it.
You understand what I'm saying? Bring your baggage. Bring your mistake. The gospel can handle it. If your preacher can. Man, I feel like I got born again. You know what I mean? Man, see, I've been ducking these old denominations for years. I've been ducking organizations, and I'm not putting them down, but I'm just telling you they ain't got it. And I've been ducking them. I'm trying to find something how to feed God people, that God people can be strong. I never stop searching. Look at this boy. And he said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. You with me? And in your sight, and is no longer worthy to be called your son. Now look what happened. Look what happened in verse 22. This is not a discussion. You are my son. You've come to your right mind. You back home now. We're not going to discuss your sin. We're going to discuss your blessing. I don't even want to talk about it.
Come on, Dad. That's exactly what he said. Hallelujah.
I've made a way for you to live good. I've made a way for you to live blessed. You come to your right mind. Now step back in your blessing. I ain't got time to be arguing with you.
That's what he said.
Talking about putting on probation for 3 weeks. That's not the cost of honor. Ain't nobody got no time for this. I need to get back home right now. I don't need to be going through all these penance and saying five Our Father and seven Hail Mary. I ain't got time for that. I won't come back right now. But the Father said, sit down, let me read this. But the Father said, let the Father talk. Shoot, shut up. Tell the person that you let the Father talk. Shut up. Stop trying to speak for yourself. Let the Father talk. But the Father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. Somebody ought to stand up and do a little dance right now. The best robe. The best robe, come back to me today. Say it. The best robe, come back to me today. Say it, God. Come back to me today. Because of Jesus Christ. I'm putting my best robe back on today. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to have fear. I'm blessed. But the Father said to his servant, bring out the best robe. Not just a robe. Bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And sandals on his feet. And bring the fattest calf here. And kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry. Now you see, change. Let me tell you what change we make now. See what change? See what the church is supposed to do. See what the church is supposed to do. If a member is accused of something, you don't even know if it's true. They got people getting out of jail every day. For a man been in jail 16 years. Now they find out he didn't do it. But the church said, oh. We suppose when one of God's children come home, we supposed to be merry about it. Not nosy. Merry. Now, I got to give everybody, sit down. I'm sure that's one manifestation. You can mess up under grace. Ain't nobody need no license to sin. They're sinning in the body of Christ left and right. They don't need no license. They don't even know nothing about no grace. They're just sinning. That's why they're sinning, because they don't know how much God loved them. They don't know how much God cared for them. And they don't know that God already made it possible for them to sin. He knew they was going to sin. He made it possible for them to get out. Follow that compass. Bet you ain't going to find that in no book. Now, let's go to the good church folks who never had a drink. Never smoked a cigarette. Never had a woman on the side. Let's go to them. I want to talk to them. Never had a man on the side. I've just been in church all my life. And I know I'm right, child. Watch this. Now, his older brother, her older son, was in the field. See, this boy working, man. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. I don't know how he heard the dancing. I mean, he must have been jumping at me. He heard music and dancing. What the old King James voice say? Same thing? It just hit me. He heard music and dancing. How you hear dancing? His mother was cutting up, huh? Mother had wood floors. Use your imagination. Come on. Y'all so spiritual. Why? He had to have something to hear. He heard music and dancing. Watch what he did now. Because this is the holy one. This is the holy one. This is the one that just go to church. Don't go nowhere else. Watch this holy one now. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother have come. And because he have received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fattest calf. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you why some of y'all don't get healed. I want y'all to know this. I'm going to tell you why some of y'all don't get healed. You're too nosy. You're messing around judging the other person. I don't know what she wants to be on the second row for. Shoot. See, because you think you deserve the second row. You don't deserve no row. You deserve the row that Jesus set for you, but you don't deserve no row. So we got to quit this. That's why sinners get healed so fast. You can't get these Christians healed because they're so judgmental. They don't rejoice when somebody gets delivered. Brother Hagin tell about lady, he used to go pray for a lady. She wasn't a church-going woman, and she had a couple of daughters, and the child gets sick. She'll send for Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin go, and she see him coming. She'll meet him halfway in the road, you know, country, halfway in the road. Say, I'm glad to see you, brother. My daughter's going to get healed today. And he go in there and lay his hand on them, God, and them God get healed every time. But he had a deacon. And his child got sick. And he went to the deacon house and knocked on the door. And he kept knocking, took his knife out, pocket knife out, knock on the door, because the other day couldn't hear, knock on the door. And the lady, when he comes to the door, oh, that's you. That's the deacon's wife, you know, oh, that's you. Uh-huh. He said, he went in there, he laid a hand on him, nothing happened. So now they griping. Well, I don't know how that woman crawled the street and get all healed, and I'm a good, upright citizen in the body of Christ, and I come to church every Sunday. You see what happened? Self-righteous. Some of y'all. And so we're gonna find out here where this boy wouldn't go in because somebody else got blessed. Watch, wife, what he said? You got a minute? So he, verse 26, so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother have come in because he had received him safe and sound. Your father have killed a fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out. And his New King James Version said, and pleaded with him. So he answered and said, you're going to go talk about works now. See, this boy got in by grace. Everybody got to get in by grace. Yes, work, but dog it, when you get in here, it's going to be by grace. Got it? Watch what it says now. Watch what it says. The father pleaded with him. So for 29, verse said, so he answered and said to his father, Lord, these many years have I been serving you. And I never done nothing wrong. That's a lie right there. See, that's lie. Say lie. Lie. I hope none of you all up in your thinking that you never done nothing wrong. Because you know what I'm going to say? Lie. I hope you think your pastor have never done nothing wrong. Lie! I don't practice sin, but I miss it somewhere.
That's right.
Anybody married miss it every now and then. And all the married folks say amen.
Amen.
You got two different people, and you almost stay different. Because the marriage is not excited if you're all just alike. You pick up some characteristic. But me and my wife never had an argument. You lying. You lying. Don't lie to me, Bob. Ronald, don't y'all lie to me. Don't be lying to me, Doc. Don't be lying to me. No, we love, we just read the Bible. She. She. Read the Bible, all right. I won't see no Bible. Man, the woman fussing up in the car. One of them said, the woman said it? Said, the woman said, if the devil, said, the devil get out of here. How she said it? Get out of here, devil. The man stopped the car. Say, you get out, the devil be out. He got to come in through somebody. Come on, let me try to close. Don't sometimes you feel like stopping the car? How many of y'all ever had a hot argument in the car? Then you get to church straight out. Hello, how you doing? And what's so good about it? Both of y'all acting right. Get back in the car. Then in your mind, what did the pastor see? Yeah, he saw. Who want the prize? What husband and wife in you? I'll give you a prize. And never had a problem. Just stand up. I'll give you a prize right now. I'll give you a prize and a surprise at the same time. A prize. Let me close. I got to close now. I'll give you a prize and a surprise. I hope you stand up and the gift of the Spirit kick in. I tell you the day, the time, and what room you was in. What color dress you had on. You ain't going to take that chance, are you? So he answered and said to his father, Lord, these many years have I been serving you and I never transgressed. That's a lie. Your commandment at any time. Good God Almighty. Yet you never give me a young goat that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this low-down, filthy, drunken son come in, running with wild women of yours, son of yours, not my brother, son of yours, Cam, who have devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill a fatted calf for him. Now, watch this. I'm going to close with this. Watch this. Watch this. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is thine, is yours. I want you in my closing here to tell six people I'm going to stop missing my blessing. Find them, find them. I'm going to stop missing my blessing. Stop missing my blessing. I'm going to stop missing my blessing. Stand on your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Reverend for God. Just a few moments. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. The gospel has been preached to you.